Mars. Bruno Mars. I can't believe it. This is gonna kind of be like a quick hits, okay? This is kind of gonna be like a quick hits. I'm hearing that Bruno Mars got a gambling problem, y'all. I couldn't believe it. Well, yes, I can. But not this bad. This is pretty bad. This is really bad. I heard that Bruno Mars is out here with a gambling problem. Now, I don't know how true that this is, but we just gonna go through a little bit of a quick hits real quick. And see if we can mine out what the people are saying out here in the streets. Because this is not good. This is not good at all. Have y'all heard about this? Have y'all heard about this? I think that Bruno Mars is probably one of the most incredibly talented people ever. I mean, his music is feel-good music. It keeps us going. It's the thing that you can play in a car with your kids. You can play it in a car with your chick. No. Michael Johnson. Not only 50 million. They say that's how much he in debt. They say he possibly lost more than that. Now, I've been hearing about this for a long time. Bruno about to have a Vegas residency. Bruno been having a Vegas residency for like 8 years. 8-9 years. Check it out. So this is what they saying, right? This is what's happening out in the streets. The post, Bruno Mars apparently owes $50 million in a gambling debt, appeared first on Consequence. Bruno Mars, let me blow this up a little bit more. Bruno Mars recently entered the ninth year of his residency at Park MGM in Las Vegas, which he extended with 12 shows taking place through 2024. But if you believe the report from News Nation, part of the reason for Mars' residency has lasted so long is because he's accrued a sizable gambling debt at the casino. He owes millions to the MGM from gambling, an unnamed source told News Nation. MGM basically owns him. They say that the source estimated that Mars owes as much as $50 million to MGM. He reportedly makes $90 million annually as a part of his deal with the casino, but after taxes, he's just barely covering the money that's owed. Mars has spoken about his affinity for gambling in the past media interviews, revealing that he visited his first casino at 19 years old as a still unknown musician covered his rent by playing cards. Okay, so hold on. Let me break this down real quick. Let's break this down real quick. A lot of people will say, how can you owe $50 million, okay? How can you owe $50 million? Now, they're asking us a couple different ways. The first reason that they're asking us is, fam, how are they allowing you to gamble money that you don't have? Well, easy, right? They allow for you to continue to take out loans. And not only take out loans, a lot of times all they got to do is just verify your income, right? So depending on who you are, they give you what's called markers. And a lot of people aren't familiar with this, but I am, so I'm going to break it down for you. They give you what's called markers. Now, a marker is similar to something that Charles Barkley was dealing with back in the day when they said that he had owed like $3 or $4 million, I believe. I don't know the amount exactly. But a marker is basically they go in and they verify how much money you make, how much money you generate, the deposits that go in and out of your bank account, all of that, right? So they know who you are and they know your net worth. And once you start spending a certain type of money, all right, let me back up. When you go into a casino, right, they don't really care about the regular people. They don't really care about the slots players because the slots players ultimately get a card because you want to get perks. And so it's similar when you go to the grocery store, right? They track your spending in order to better understand how to serve the public or what needs to be in and out or what the consumer habits are, right? So when you sign up and you get a Kroger card or a Walmart card or you're entering your M-Perks number or whatever, they give you perks, but in reality, data is information and that gives them insight into who's who, who's what, and who's spending what. Who's the big dogs, who the big ballers, and all of that, right? And so when you go into a casino, if you're spending enough money or you give enough action, they'll ask you, hey, do you want a card and do you want a host? They will walk up to you and they will give you a personal host. A personal host is there to make sure that they accommodate your every need because you are a whale. Yes, you are a whale. Now, very few people become whales. A lot of people have personal hosts, but very few people become whales. Whales, and they base it off the amount of action that you give, meaning that it's not so much. The host don't care about how much you win or lose. The host is there to make sure that you're happy. They work for the casino. They don't want you to give no action to no other casinos. They want you to go to them. Okay? So the host is there in order to make sure that you're happy because they don't want you to go anywhere else and be able to give that money away to nowhere else. They want you to give the action. So the longer that you play and the amount of money that you playing per bet is a calculation that then gives the casino an idea of how much money that you give in action. So for example, let's say, for example, somebody like me, right? And I go in and I say, okay, well, I want to give action or whatever, so on and so forth, right? And so let's say that I buy in for $50,000. Cool. Now, my average bet may be somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 per bet, depending on what I'm playing, whether you're playing blackjack, craps table, roulette, whatever, right? But you may not necessarily lose $50,000, but your action that you give in the casino by the time that you leave could be somewhere in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on how long you play. So your average bet calculated by how much time you play then gives them an idea of how much action that you give it, okay? So you can then get a marker based off of your betting habits and then also what it is that they can verify as far as what you generate. This is how people lose everything because you can basically put anything up. People have lost their homes. They lost their businesses. They lose their relationships. They lose their lives. So when you start to think about somebody like Bruno Mars, everybody keeps asking and they say, well, how is it that he continues to extend his residency? Well, part of the reason that they're assuming that they extend his residency is because they're saying that he can't get out of it based off of the idea that he continues to be a gambler. So MGM owns him. This is what's being alleged, that MGM owns Bruno Mars because Bruno Mars has a bad gambling habit. Now, the other conversation would be, well, why would a person that makes $90 million a year from their residency, and that don't even include anything else as far as royalties, residuals, or anything like that, why would a person that makes $90 million a year even be gambling in the first place? That's the million-dollar question. That is the million-dollar question. Okay, well, let's break it down. Why would a person that makes $100,000 a year be going to the casino and gambling? According to Complex, the 24K Magic singer announced a multi-year residency with MGM Resorts International in 2016, performing at the hospitality giants Park MGM Resort in Las Vegas. However, the relationship between the 38-year-old and the hospitality giant might have gone sour as the singer's gambling has allegedly racked up large debts at the poker tables in Las Vegas. More than the poker tables. He owed millions to MGM. Another source said the debt is high as $50 million, make $90 million. They added that, claiming that the singer only makes $1.5 million per night after taxes, as though that's a little bit. Part of Mars MGM contract reportedly include the creation of the Pinky Ring, a cocktail lounge inside of the Bellagio Resort. News Nation reports that another project is in the works as well. In 2013, in an interview with GQ's Chris Heath, Mars reminisced about his early... Reminisced? As though it's something that you really, really... need to reminisce on. Reminisced about his early days of gambling when he frequented the Commerce Casino in Los Angeles long before he became famous. He says, I used to be like a loudmouth. You know, the guy people would want to take his money. If you do, get them to lose they're out for you and they're gunning for you. And that's when they're weak. And that's when you jump and pounce on them. He opened up about his first time he visited the casino when he was 19 years old. He said he remembers his first bet. His hand was shaking. And a guy called me out on it and embarrassed me. He admitted to losing $100. He couldn't afford to lose. He says, you got to lose just so you can lose, just to have to lose to win. Understand? He said, you got to lose to win. They say losers don't quit either. Now, this is unfortunate because, again, I remember when they said that they caught him with that white, if you want to ride, the white horse. Let me tell you something, bro. Of all of the different things that I've seen in my lifetime, I believe that gambling addiction is possibly right up there with the worst. If it's not the worst, it's got to be a 1B, 1C, 1E. If it's not the worst, because the thing that people don't understand about gambling addiction is that it doesn't matter how much money that you make, because it's not about the money anymore. It's about the action. There's nothing that you can't buy with $90 million a year that you can't buy with $100 million a year or $150 million a year. It's not about the money. You can already buy whatever it is that you want. It's about the action. That's why people that get to a certain level in life do it. It's action, it's adrenaline, and a lot of times it's almost just like taking a drug. You know, I was talking to somebody, I was interviewing him over there on a black couch one time, and I asked him, and I said, it was an NBA player, and I asked him, I said, yo, what was it like the first time that you ever did coke? He said it was like having an internal orgasm that he has never experienced in his life. I said, really? He said, yeah. And he said, you chase it. He said, you have to chase it or manage it for the rest of your life. He said, you have to chase it or manage it for the rest of your life. And I said, that don't sound like nothing I ever want to be a part of, ever. And it's the same way when it comes to chasing a high, except for when you gamble and the highs are not as high as they should be. And lows are really, really low because you beat yourself up about the fact of why it is that you even did it in the first place. And then you continue to do it because he's justifying the fact that, well, you know what? I make $90 million a year. What difference do it make? I can afford to do it. And that is the very, very much the sentiment of a addicted person. That is the sentiment of a person that is truly addicted, is when they start justifying why they can do it. Well, I can afford it. Or the worst ones do this. The worst ones start to justify it based off of what they would have done with the money anyway. Well, I just would have spent it on something that didn't matter. Or, you know, if I wasn't making $90 million, what would I be doing in the first place? It's all based off of your brain, bro. It's a mindset. I'm telling you, listen. I seen my brother one time when he was younger, and it was his first time ever in a casino. He said, Anton, I want to go to the casino. I said, no, man. He said, well, I'm going to go anyway, so I would love for you to go with me or whatever. And I said, all right, cool. And he went, and he put his $25 on the table. And the dice came out and he lost. And then he put another $25 on the table and then he lost. Because he had only bought in for $100. And then he put $50 on the table and then he lost. And I was so thankful. I was so thankful to God. And his little feelings was hurt and he was brokenhearted. And when we went outside, I gave him his $100 back. I just gave him $100. I said, don't ever come back. That's the best thing that could have ever happened to you, was that you got your little feelings hurt. You got your little feelings hurt, and that you did not get the dopamine from winning. Real talk, I'm just gonna be real with you. I said that's the best thing that could have ever happened to you, because I see people get swallowed up all the time. They don't build these large skyscrapers. They don't build these huge casinos with all of the lights and all of the stuff and the shows and stuff. They don't build it off of winners. If you know anybody that's even thinking remotely about continuing to walk into that place, stop them. Tell them it's the worst thing that's going to ever happen to them. Don't let them do it, because it's you chasing adrenaline. You're not even chasing the money. When you first go, when you first got your hand shaking and you put your hand out there, you're doing it to see, ooh, I can double my money. When you get to a certain point in life, you're chasing the adrenaline. That's why I don't do drugs. That's why I don't do none of that. I'm just high off life, man. got to be high off life, because you cannot in any way, shape, or form put yourself in a position to ever get addicted. Real talk.